Good morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show, coming to you from New Orleans, with host Tanya Brown. Our episodes span about 20 minutes long to give you just a little pop of magic. So, tune in, take a deep breath, and enjoy.
Good morning. It is January 12th, 2023. It is Thursday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Today's episode is brought to you by Glass Garden Apothecary. So let's get your day going with a little magic. Our quote of the day is, "There are far better things ahead than we leave behind," by C.S. Lewis. So, what are we drinking today? We are drinking Witch of Orleans tea. This is a tea that tastes like king cake, and it is meant to honor Joan of Arc. So, we're going to talk a little bit about what king cake is for those who may not know. So, this comes to us from countryliving.com. What is king cake? Here's what to know about the delicious Mardi Gras tradition. So after the Christmas and New Year's, it can seem like a long stretch before more holidays with fun, delicious meals, desserts. But then there's Mardi Gras, and more specifically, king cake. Even those who haven't made their way to New Orleans have likely seen king cakes in their local bakeries starting in early January. While these days we often associate Fat Tuesday with the king cake and booze and beads, the cake tradition actually started with Three Kings Day, a holiday that happens 12 days after Christmas. While there are tons of Mardi Gras recipes out there, we love king cake the best. So the cake got its start long, long ago. We're talking Middle Ages. The first king cakes were made in Europe in celebration of the Catholic Epiphany, also known as Three Kings Day. For those who haven't visited a nativity scene in a while, it's a celebration of the day the three wise men were said to have visited the baby Jesus and celebrated with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Sorry for all the little coughing. So the French brought the cake with them to Louisiana in the 1870s. And all these years later, it has become synonymous with the French Quarter, Mardi Gras, Fat Tuesday, and all the rest of those things we love about New Orleans. But the cake is popular in lots of different cities and states. King cake is very much a seasonal cake, available in early January at the beginning of Carnival season, and then it goes away Ash Wednesday when everyone is meant to give something up for Lent. So, what is king cake? King cake is a ring of sweet, buttery pastry, similar to brioche, that's covered in lots of icing and topped with loads of purple, yellow, and green sprinkles or luster dust. Some folks make their king cake more like bread, while others prefer a more cakey version. There's no right or wrong way. Most are usually filled with cream cheese that can be flavored with vanilla, cinnamon, or a combo of the two. But they're always round with a hollowed out center. Think of it like a crown that you could put on your head if you were feeling particularly festive, but don't do that. On the outside, king cake is usually covered with delicious icing and oodles of green, purple, yellow sprinkles. These colors aren't random. The green symbolizes faith, purple stands for power, and yellow represents justice. Oh, and there's a tiny plastic baby hidden in there too. So why is there a plastic baby in king cake? Don't worry, it's not that little, so there's no fear you're going to eat it without knowing. The plastic baby just makes eating king cake more fun. In fact, it's kind of a sport. Everyone is itching to find the little baby. Some say the little baby is baby Jesus. Others just think of him as a symbol for luck and prosperity. We witches know that food divination is very common. There's a version of this in most cultures. So not only do you get to eat cake, but you basically have a shot at becoming royalty, if only for one day. Actually, the first time I ever had king cake, I got the baby. It was so weird. So yeah, there's so many kits to make king cake. I actually am eating a more traditional king cake. So this king cake and the king cake we modeled the tea after is New Orleans king cake. It's, like I just described, like a giant cinnamon roll with cream cheese, right? But there is a traditional king cake from France, and we do have a French bakery here in New Orleans. I actually just went this morning and got my first king cake, and I ate two whole pieces before recording the podcast. So that's a little different. It's a little bit more very much like the French. It has a lot of buttery layers with an almond cream. Some people in New Orleans call it queen cake. The traditional king cake, they call it queen cake, but it is traditional king cake from France. But it is the New Orleans one that is famous. And that is what we themed the tea after. So it tastes like king cake. And then Joan of Arc, who was deeply religious and believed to have spoken to God, I thought that was nice. I felt like it kind of honored her religiousness. All right, witches. So we are going to take a break, and then when we get back, we're going to continue on our planner series.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Thursday, January 12th. The waning gibbous moon keeps tidy in Virgo today. Here, the moon trines the Sun and Pluto and opposes Neptune. The Pluto-Sun conjunction is casting light in some very dark places, but the opposition to Neptune makes us not want to believe what we're seeing. We push these things into dark places because we no longer want to see or acknowledge them. But there comes a time when confronting these dark things becomes inevitable. When you're face to face with one of these dark tendencies, try not to shy away from it. Learn what you can from this aspect of yourself. Forgive yourself for these pieces of you, and find a way to integrate it rather than pushing it back into the basement of your soul. Your daily moon mantra is, "There is no light without shadow, just as there is no happiness without pain." This has been your Daily Moon Mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
Happy New Year! If you're looking to add new healthy habits to your 2023, check out Glass Garden Apothecary. All of our teas and other herbal potions are made to order with all the best intentions stirred right in. Go to glassgardenapothecary.com and Glass Garden Apothecary on YouTube. Josephine Glass can't wait to make your order. And use code WITCH, WITCH, for 10% off in January and February at glassgardenapothecary.com.
Also, I forgot to share this. I will be hiding a few babies into our Witch of Orleans tea packages. And if you get the baby, you get a special gift certificate. All right, so we're continuing on with our planner series. We're on Thursday, which is all about time management. So time management is the ability to use one's time effectively. I feel like sometimes time management gets a bad rap as like use all your time to work. That's not what it means. It means using the time you have in a way that you can get more free time. It's literally just a way of organizing your time in a way that gets you more free time. And who doesn't want that? Actually, I was talking to Kiki on the way to Florida. So I was supposed to be in Florida for a week. There were some circumstances that occurred that I had to be in Florida for 2 weeks. So I just got home, you know. So if I sound a little out of sorts, maybe that's why. But I was talking to Kiki, and she said, she's like, she told me, she says, no one I know uses their time more effectively than you do. And it was such a compliment because I always felt that way. I mean, I do a lot. My friend Paul said if I ever based a character after you who did all the stuff you did, people would claim that it was an unrealistic character. But the reason I am able to do all the things I do is because I do use my time very, very effectively. And sometimes I do have to put down boundaries, which isn't always easy. Sometimes, like how I'm really good at managing my time is I compartmentalize. So I have certain times where I work on certain things and I don't work on them outside of those time periods. And it's just how I best manage my time. So if someone comes to me about something and it's not my time to work on that, I just let them know. I go, hey, I work on that on these days. You emailing me 4 times will not make that day come any faster. So just wait till that day and you'll hear from me. And most people are really cool about it. And if anyone's not, then ugh, screw them, you know? So. But we're going to talk about time management. I actually love time management. I know that sounds a little nutty bananas, cocoa bananas, cuckoo bananas. But I even play time management games. Like I love like time management games. I know it sounds so silly. Anyways, so this information I got from Study Quill on YouTube. So if you like this information, check them out. I did subscribe. So here are 4 ways you can help manage your time effectively. And if you are listening to this series and you're like, Tanya, like you're saying a lot of stuff and I can't keep track of all the things you're saying. Well, that's okay. We made a workbook. You can download a workbook on Patreon, which helps take you through all of this. Because I know it's a lot. It was a lot to work on. It took me a while to work on this, and it was a lot of work. So I can only imagine what it feels like having all this information thrown at you. So, 4 ways to help manage your time. Number one, reduce. This is the most important step. To do things that matter most to you, you need to not waste time on things you don't need to do. You don't have to actually do all of the tasks available to you at 100% perfection in order to reach the goal. If you struggle with perfectionism, this is obviously a huge struggle and a part of your life you can work on overcoming. But to use our example goal for the month, which might be do a ritual once a month, let's just pretend, in order to feel more magical. Let's say during one of the rituals, you didn't have time to go to the store and get your supplies. So you're skipping the spell aspect and you're just going to go through the ceremonial aspects without the stuff you need. That's not 100% what you wanted, but it still lends towards the umbrella goal of feeling more magical. And you're still creating the habit as well as learning to be kinder to yourself about perfectionism in the process. So you can't have all or nothing thinking. That is called a cognitive distortion. Anyone who was in like Psych 101 knows the cognitive distortions, and all or nothing thinking is one of those. And it causes a lot of turmoil, it causes a lot of stress, and it causes poor time management. If you feel like you have to do everything perfect 100% of the time, oh, you're really going to struggle. So, for example, for our goal, you weren't able to do the whole ritual. Maybe you were only able to do half, but you still did it. It wasn't perfect, but who cares? You still did it. So, the point of reducing is realizing you do not have to do everything 100% perfect all the time. So, maybe you not going to the store gave you an hour to spend time with your kids or to sit and read a book. Like, that's reducing time and being able to use it in a more kinder, gentler way. Okay. So, like I said before, you can't have all or nothing thinking. Forgoing a spell or forgoing a card pull or whatever isn't going to derail your goals. Give yourself some slack. Goals don't have to be stressful. Principle of diminishing returns. You can add in more and more time and effort into something, and it doesn't mean your return is going to keep going up and up. So determine what's good enough. What's good enough? And aim for that. Also, constant growth isn't realistic. You do not need to constantly be moving forward to be useful or valuable. So let's cancel hustle culture and bring in hug culture. Let's stop the non-productivity shaming. Finding your comfort zone is efficient. Forcing growth when you don't have the time or ability is how we get burnt out, like we talked about on Monday. So remember, step one, reduce. Reduce the things you do or reduce the expectation of 100% perfection. This is already going to free up some time for you. Number two, sorry, I'm going to take a sip of tea. Number two, prioritize. Let's say you have a list of 10 items on your to-do list, and you're like, ugh, Tanya said if I do more than 7, I'm going to explode. So maybe we need to whittle down that list, right? And figuring out what needs to do ASAP or what can wait is really helpful. So something to know about me is I love a formula. And I'm going to give you a formula on how to prioritize your to-do list to know what needs to be done now and what can wait. So take your 10 items and put them into two columns, urgent and not urgent. And of course, you can use all these techniques in multiple facets of your life. But this is a magical podcast, so I always kind of have to go back to that. So going back to feeling more magical, let's say going to the store for your ritual supplies that you really, really, really want to do tonight and you're really excited about, that's urgent because it means a lot to you. It's important to you and you're excited and it's got to get done. But maybe buying that new tarot deck because your current one is getting raggedy might not be urgent. That can go in the not urgent pile. Now, once you have those two lists, urgent, not urgent, with your 10 items, you know, distributed, look at each one of those lists and rank the items in each column from hardest to easiest. So ideally, you want to do your hardest tasks first in your day when your brain is well rested and leave the easier tasks for when you might be more tired. Okay, so that's it. Make your two lists urgent, not urgent, and then within those lists, rank each list separately from hardest to easiest. Then there you go. You do the urgent list items first in order from hardest to easiest, and then you move on to your not urgent list from hardest to easiest. If you want to stick to the 7-item rule, the last 3 items on your not urgent list get pushed off to another day. Keep in mind, not all of these tips we share will work for everyone. The key is finding one thing that does work. Oftentimes, one thing makes all the difference. So you may not want to do this exercise every day, but thinking in this formula will just help you become more decisive overall. Step 3, plan. When should I do the things? Now, I love a list. I love a schedule, not because I necessarily think my schedule will play out perfectly during the day. It won't. For example, I am currently writing this, and I was supposed to write this down at 10 a.m. It's now 12:40. Things happen. But I like knowing that my tasks have homes, similar to when items in your house have homes. It just makes things feel less chaotic. So planning your day, find available time slots, and give your tasks homes within these time slots. It just makes life likely to go a little easier, and if it goes astray, that's okay. You'll find yourself less likely to forget things you were going to do, and also you'll have a realistic look about what you genuinely can fit into a day. It's not fair to you to bombard yourself with more tasks than you actually have time for. So that's just asking for stress, bad feelings, and self-sabotage. So I use many methods for this. I have an online calendar, I have my planner, and I have an Excel spreadsheet. You only need one, but I really like lists, so I like having multiple methods, but you only need one. Pick the one that works for you. And like I said before, don't hesitate to be flexible enough to change it up. Like I have, last year, I completely used my Hectic Witches planner, but the year before that, I was using my Google Calendar. And then for my writing projects, I use my Outlook calendar. And then sometimes I like to use an Excel spreadsheet when I need to think about my tasks in a way that's different from a timeline. So be flexible. Try one thing. If it doesn't work, try something else, you know? All right, number four, we need to execute our tasks. So let's say you really, really struggle with procrastination. Let's say you really struggle with executing your tasks and getting them done. Here's a few tricks that can help you avoid procrastination. Number one, we already talked about this, but outside accountability. Knowing others expect you to get things done are more likely to help you get them done. For me, working at a coffee shop is really effective, and often I have found I can get 2 days' work of 2 days worth of work done within like half a work day. And this leaves my rest of the week feeling a little gentler and a little easier. Two, the 2 minute rule. So this is really great for people who struggle to do things because of the dread of the actual task. This could be exercising, or writing that essay, or in a magical sense, maybe meditation. Some people dread the idea of the task more than the task actually deserves. So the 2 minute rule is a form of parenting ourselves. I really like to parent myself. For example, I have toddler rules when I nap. Sometimes I need to nap. If I don't nap, I fall asleep very, very early. And then I wake up very, very early, and it's a really bad cycle for me. So sometimes I need to take naps, and I actually really don't enjoy doing it. So I parent myself and I say, okay, you just have to lay there. You don't have to sleep. And so I'm a big fan of parenting myself, and it works for a lot of people. And that's what the 2 minute rule is. Basically, the quote, you need to at least try it, unquote, version of being productive. If you promise yourself you only need to do the task for 2 minutes, you may find that after that 2 minutes, you're happy to keep going and finish the rest of the task. Usually it's just getting started that's really hard. So if we parent ourselves and go, you only have to do it for 2 minutes, after 2 minutes you can stop. Typically, once you do the 2 minutes, you're happy to finish the task. And so that's it. That is how we can use our time more efficiently and how we can better execute our tasks. Those four steps should really, really help you in terms of using your time more effectively, which frees up your time. And like I said before, you don't have to use that free time for goals. You can just keep the time free. Read a book. Dance to Lady Gaga. Lay on the floor. Do whatever you want. No one's gonna be upset with you. All right, witches. So we are wrapping up this episode of the Witch Daily Show. I want to give a shout out to Pietra Simmons. Pietra, you sophisticated, scrumptious werewolf. Krista Doran. Krista, you spiffy, luminous, tropical fish. Julie M. Julie, you insidious, thoughtful oracle. And finally, Nicole Brewer. Nicole, you opulent, scintillating barn owl. Thank you for so much being Patreon supporters. I really, really appreciate it. And yeah, don't forget, we have a Facebook group. We will be starting a Discord group very soon. And if you like some of these tips we've been talking about this week and our Witchy Magical Planner series, we created a workbook for you to try it out. It is available for download on our Patreon. And I hope you have a good day. Don't forget, any books, decks, headlines, sources, or anything we've referenced today can be found in the podcast episode description or witchpod.com. I swear I could say that in my sleep. And that's it. We'll talk tomorrow.
Witches, We hope you have a wonderful day, full of joy and gentleness and confidence. Links for this week's episodes, our website, Patreon, along with a free daily card pull can be found at witchpod.com. One stop for everything we talk about. Now, take one more deep breath and have a great day.
I had an abortion when I was 15 years old in my home state of Arizona in 1994. It was not a decision that I made lightly, but I have never for one moment doubted that it was the right decision for me. But so much has changed in Arizona and many other states since then. If I were that same 15-year-old in Arizona today, legally, I would have to get parental consent. I would be forced to undergo a medically unnecessary ultrasound, go to a state-mandated in-person counseling session designed solely to shame me into changing my mind, and then take a state-mandated 24-hour time out to make sure I really know what I wanted. And finally, I would be forced to give the state a reason why. Well, here is mine. It is my body, not the state's. Women and their doctors are the ones that are in the best position to make informed decisions about what is best for them. No one else. No bill that criminalizes abortion will stop anyone from making this incredibly painful decision. These bans will not stop abortion from happening, but they will drive women and girls and people into the shadows, which is what this has always been about, shaming and controlling women's bodies. In the week after I shared my story on my show, women were coming up to me in the street, in the supermarket, at my gym, with tears in their eyes, thanking me for my bravery. But the word brave didn't sit right with me. Why is it brave to speak to an experience that millions of people around the world throughout history have gone through? And then I realized it is considered brave because as women, we have been taught to feel shame about our bodies since birth. I am so sad that we have to sit here in front of a row of politicians and give deeply personal statements because the why doesn't matter. It should not matter. I am a human being that deserves autonomy in this country that calls itself free, and choices that a human being makes about their own bodies should not be legislated by strangers who can't possibly know or understand each individual's circumstances or beliefs. I'm here today to help destigmatize a legitimate medical procedure and continue to encourage women not to allow themselves to be shamed for their choices. And finally, I am here today for my two little girls, Birdie and Cricket. My dream for them is that they will live in a world in which women are truly equal with complete control over their own reproductive health. That is the dream I hold for all people, regardless of their privilege or parents or what state they live in. That dream is slipping further and further from reality with every ban passed. I hope that you, our elected leaders, can help us reverse the tide. Thank you. I look forward to today's discussion.